The road to Croke Park has featured big two-pointers, late drama, and a wrong turn, and Enniskillen.
You drove almost a sixth of the way across the country in the wrong direction!
Ahead of Sunday's All-Ireland final clash of Donegal and Kerry, relive the full story of this year's football championship with a new three-part podcast. The Road to Croke Park, the football championship. Available for free in your OTB GAA and Football Pod feeds.
Time to look ahead to the All-Ireland Senior Camogie Championship semi-finals. It's a double header in Nolan Park. Tomorrow afternoon, 3 p.m, we'll see Galway take on Tipperary, and 5 p.m, Cork versus Waterford. Our own Rachel Sheehan is on the line. Good morning, Rachel. How are things?
Morning, Shane. Morning, Cullen. How are we?
We're keeping well. Looking forward to these games, the double header that takes place tomorrow afternoon. We might start with the first game, Galway versus Tipperary. I know you've been speaking to various members of all the teams really involved, Rachel, in the build-up to this game. The Galway Tip one, like, it's really interesting, and I think you got into it with all the players, the difference between having the gap, you know, before a semi-final or playing the quarter-final. And like, did you manage to garner anything from speaking to them, whether it was an advantage to come in hot with loads of games under your belt, or to have that extra break, I guess?
Yeah, definitely coming in with the extra game under their belt. The Tipperary and Waterford obviously both had to go through the quarterfinal, and they said at the time, they were like, oh, we're delighted now that we had to go through the quarterfinal stage, even though I don't think they would have been saying that when they came second in the group. But a 4-week wait is a long time, you know, and the fact that the quarterfinals are played, they were played in Croke Park before the hurling, so there was a big atmosphere. You get a lot of younger players coming in, getting used to that, whereas the likes of now Cork and Galway are still very experienced panels, haven't played a competitive game in 4 weeks. And you could argue that because there's like a bit of a disparity in some of the groups, that Cork maybe haven't played a competitive game in a number of weeks. So especially Tipperary coming off the back of extra final win over Kilkenny, you know, they were a point up and Kilkenny levelled it, and Kilkenny went 3 points up then in extra time. So you would have thought that's kind of curtains for Tipperary, especially what happened to them last year against Galway in the semi-final. You know, they were 3 points clear and Galway came back and won it. You know, they scored the last number of points unanswered. But I think it's a testament to where Tipperary are this year that they clawed it back in a bit of a minute of mayhem in Croke Park in the quarterfinal, to be fair. And they did get a massive stroke of luck with Kilkenny coming in, missing the penalty, and then Clodagh McIntyre goes up and scores goal of a lifetime, really, in Croke Park.
Like, it wasn't a massively convincing performance in the quarterfinal, but they did enough to get over the line in Tip. I'm wondering, Rachel, do you see anything different in Tip since last year's semi-final defeat? It wasn't a capitulation by any means, but to be ahead and then to lose by a point, what's the evidence to say that that won't happen again this weekend?
I think they proved that against Kilkenny. You know, going 3 points down in extra time in Croke Park, it was just before the hurling, so the crowds were building. If there was ever a time that you were going to buckle under a bit of pressure, it was then. You know, but they didn't. They answered back. And even after they got the goal, they tacked on another point just for insurance. So that goes a long way. And you can see, even talking to Maria Deviston, the Tip captain, she spoke so much on Tuesday about the mental growth of this team and that they've worked so hard. I mean, the last 2 years, they've lost semi-finals by a point. One to Waterford, another to Galway. So they know that's there. And she brought it up again and again, reaching into that hurt locker. So not only will they have that, they're going to be buoyed by what happened at the weekend, which we won't talk about in too much detail. But, you know, I imagine there's a small bit of excitement in the county at the moment.
So they have the emotional motivation there, undoubtedly, because of retribution of what's happened the last couple of years. Objectively, where is this game going to be won and lost on the pitch itself in terms of the influence of their goal scorers, the respective goal scorers? There's actually loads of threats in both teams here between Tip and Galway.
Yeah, I mean, these two semi-finals are, they're going to shoot the lights out. It's going to be brilliant. But if you're going to stop Galway, you have to stop Niamh Mallon first. You know, she's a Port Ferry woman, but playing with Galway now for the last couple of years. And she's got everything. She's strong. She's got a low enough centre of gravity. The way she picks up that ball, if she's not putting it over herself, she's being fouled every time. And Carrie Dolan, the Galway captain, has just been unrelenting on the frees this year. You know, she kind of killed off the game against Waterford. She put over so many. So you can't give Niamh Mallon an inch. But it's interesting enough that Tip Quevin McCarthy, wing back, got player of the match in the quarterfinal against Kilkenny, and she tacked on 3 points herself. So I don't know if it's one of those, you ruin your own game and you go out and man-mark Niamh Mallon as best you can and try and stop her, but that's the first port of call anyway.
It's difficult as well because those dangers, as you say, Rachel, from Galway set pieces and frees. And I know you spoke to Maria Eviston about this. You know, the danger is that you foul the Galway forward so often that they just tap over the frees and put enough scores on the scoreboard to go out of sight. But I guess the danger of thinking that way is you almost become soft and you're thinking too much about not giving away frees, and that can become a detriment to your team. So, like, I don't know, is there a happy balance where you're not soft, but you're also not giving away too many frees against this Galway team?
I don't think there's ever a fear that Tipperary player are going to be soft, to be honest. What's going to win it for Tipperary is channeling the energy that's coming from the county and the excitement rightly. You know, you spoke about Darren McCarthy in the first round against Cork in the hurling, and that he didn't get the balance of being up for it and playing on the right side of the law. And I think that's going to be pivotal for Tip, because Mairead, again, she spoke about how the Tip lads went out against hot favourites Cork and just hurled and beat them all over the pitch, and that goes such a long way. So you know the Tip are going to be flying into tackles and they're not going to play defensively. You know, they're going to run at them. But it's, yes, especially Mairead Eviston, she's so physical, she's commanding there at centre back. So it'll be interesting as well to see how the reffing goes, you know, how much is allowed.
Galway Tipperary, that throws in at 3 p.m. Tomorrow, this is a double header at Nolan Park, and then at 5 o'clock it's Cork against Waterford, which is a repeat of the final from 2023. Rachel, Cork have gone back to back several times, but they haven't won three in a row since 1973, so that's what they're going for this year. Waterford reached only their second ever final in 2023, their first in 78 years, and got obliterated out the gap. But a lot has changed in those 2 years since. This is going to be a very tight match.
Yeah. And even speaking to Lorraine Bray, Waterford, when they got the quarterfinal win over Clare, they didn't play very well. You know, they ran out 10 points winners at the end, but they didn't. Clare had them on the ropes for a lot of the game. But it was a lot of the Waterford's team. It had been their first time winning in Croke Park, either ever or since the 2015 intermediate final. So psychologically alone, getting that win for Waterford was massive. They've had a great year. They beat Kilkenny historically in the first round of the championship this year. And they lost out to Galway in the last group game, but Mick Boland mentioned after, the amount they learned from that game was huge. You know, they didn't play very well and they lost the game. Whereas we saw against Clare in the quarterfinal, they didn't play very well, but they still managed to grind it out and find a way to win.
And they changed manager too, Waterford, during the year as well, so they've had, like you mentioned there, the new manager. For Cork, Rachel, they go straight into the semi-final after a round-robin performance. So it's 4 matches and 4 very dominant wins. Like, their smallest margin was a 9-point victory. Their largest was 38. And we were talking this time last week about a certain match, and are they battle-hardened and ready for battle? They'll be fine here, will they, in terms of getting up for this semi-final because of what's on the line?
Exactly. And they're an experienced squad. You know, they know, and they're used to putting up big scores like this. It's not been the first time that there's, you know, been uneven matches in the group games and they've gone out to see it through all the way to the final. Obviously, going for 3 in a row, if you ask anyone, they're going to say they're not thinking about that, but it has to be there somewhere, you know. But their Cork's full forward line, all of their forwards, especially that full forward line, they're so dangerous. It's hard not to see them putting up a big score.
They scored 14 goals across the 4 games in the group.
Yeah. Now, Clodagh Finn, 4-7 alone. Like, they're averaging 4.21, but that's against sides that are no comparison to Waterford. And they had a huge win over Tipperary in the first round, where Tip were, they were very, very poor. You know, they're a completely different side since then. So I think it'd be unfair to Waterford to even look at that scoring difference, because it's not going to play a huge part. Waterford they play on the edge of the law, and you saw that a lot with Clare, and that's how they got over the line. And Mick Boland, the Waterford manager, he's managed a lot of these Cork girls. I think Saoirse McCarthy mentioned that from under 12 up, he'd been her coach, and he's managed his clubs in Cork as well. So he'll know exactly how to stop that Cork attack if anyone does.
Yeah, like I was going to ask you, like, has Mick Boland significantly improved Waterford since taking over from Jerry Wallace earlier in the year? Like, Waterford, sounds like from your own assessment that they are good enough to stop the Cork attack. And I guess the second question then is, are they at a satisfactory level where they can proactively win the game themselves beyond stopping the opponent?
Yeah, and I mean, Mick was involved in the background before, he was in the background team before Jerry Wallace left, so there wasn't huge upheaval, to be fair. And
but a different position, I suppose, is the thing. A different position.
Yeah. And they do a lot of, like, they run the ball up the wing and there's a lot of hand passing, and that didn't go to hand against Clare. It also didn't go to hand against Galway. So if they can get that right, they'd be playing Cork differently to what a lot of teams would, because Cork love to run that ball through the lines as well. The battles on Saturday in that match are going to be insane. You've got Laura Tracy probably picking up Beth Carton, who's so influential, probably has been a bit quieter in the last two games, so teams have found out how to quieten her, but still any attack goes through her. Obviously Niamh Rocket won 11 in the quarter final. Be interesting to see who picks up there. Probably maybe either Aoife Healy, be interesting to see, but Saoirse McCarthy as well in the Cork half forward line. Keely Corbett Barrett, the Waterford centre back, she goes on these darting runs and she creates so much for Waterford. But when you have a player with the speed of Saoirse McCarthy marking you, you can't afford to run like that and leave a space. So I think a lot of the Cork attack will negate the Waterford attack coming from the backs, because that's, they build their scores up really slowly.
You mentioned Clodagh Finn earlier, Rachel, as well, and like she's only 22 or 23 years of age, I think, and went from maybe the impact sort of sub role last year to very much asserting her place in the starting team this year. And to have a player of that age doing what she's doing just must inspire the players around her as well, because she's so dangerous.
Yeah, she's lethal. Between her, Amy O'Connor and Orla Cahalan in that full forward line, it's goals. That's what you see when you see that full forward line. And Clodagh, to be fair to her, she's always been an unbelievable player, but this year she had an unbelievable year with UCC, and that confidence is just flowing onto the Cork team now. You can see it, and they've got no injuries for the first time this year as well. So Libby Coppinger is back, full back, and Saoirse McCartan is coming into the team, so we haven't seen much of them at all. So they were playing well, and now they've got a full strength team. So I think it's going to be a really, really good, tough match. But if Cork can get over the fact that they haven't played a competitive game in over 4 weeks, they should come true.
Yeah, and it's Waterford almost getting over the line in a big game in Croke Park, which they hadn't done in quite some time. Like, the last day almost felt like a ripping off the Band-Aid. It, obviously, you know, going one step further, beating a Cork team, as you say, in a semi-final is maybe a step too far, potentially. Like, you know, to go from that high to continuing that and beating a Cork team with the talents that we've just pointed out is a difficult enough prospect.
It is, but it's a Cork team that haven't been challenged, so it is a big worry. You know, this Waterford team have been challenged twice, and they know now how to deal with that adversity. Obviously, the Cork panel is so strong, and I'm sure they're having incredibly competitive in-house matches, and you can see that from the likes of the players that are on the bench. But it's hard to replicate that somewhere like Kilkenny in a doubleheader in a big, big, important match. It's my one worry for Cork that they haven't had to play for 4 weeks, and Waterford they had a lot more competitive group games as well, so they're kind of used to playing under that pressure.
Are you over last weekend? Yes, Rachel. Every time I bring it up this morning, Colm gives me daggers, but how are you feeling?
The Rachel, I've been here manning the fort on my own all week. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, sorry, Colm. Were you? Well, unfortunately enough, I had to spend all of Monday following the Tipperary team around with Ian McCarthy. So
that's horrendous.
I'm really sorry for you there in the studio. That must have been very hard.
It was. It was harder, actually. At least you were surrounded by joy, you know, and celebration and Bonhamie. I don't know if you... I got a producer from my ear there saying something untoward. What's going to happen in these Camogie semi-finals?
See, he's already moved away from... I was trying to ask Rachel about Cork.
That's what people do, you know. That's how you succeed in life. You move on to the next thing. Rachel, take over there.
Galway and Cork are favourites, but I can see Tipperary... I think it might be PTSD from the weekend. I can see Tipperary upsetting Galway and coming out with the win. I do think Cork will win, but it's not going to be pretty.
Another Tip Cork final.
Tip looking to become the first county to win the Senior All-Ireland in Camogie and hurling since, I believe, Cork in 2005.
Mm. Full circle moment, yeah. There you go.
So heartbreak could await again for Cork.
Yeah.
Very, very soon.
Looking forward to these games. Rachel, thanks a million for jumping on this morning.
Off the ball. GAA.
Cork were nearly too honest. They were doing their best to play the game. Kill the game. Take off their helmet. The ref has to stop the game. Like, do something.
No, it is. Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.